Shout Factory TV, changing the channel.
Bitch! Hello?
Yeah, may I speak to Miss Janie?
This is she.
Hey, sugar.
Hey.
How you feel?
All right.
I ain't doing too good. You know my knees hurt.
Who is it?
This is Miss Jackson over here at Mount Moriah. I had met you about 2 years ago. I didn't.
Yeah.
Been meaning to call you.
Sure no.
Now, let me ask you something. Y'all didn't move in y'all new church yet. Well, what they waiting on?
Well, they are not through with it.
Well, where did this, somebody didn't start? You know I'm your friend. I ain't gonna let nobody.
Hey, wait a minute, yeah.
Okay. This midnight of mine, I'm letting it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I've come down, you sit,
let's talk about something. Real talk radio. Ain't no funny. A church with our walls, a hot and talk show. Real talk with the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it popping. Music got me hopping. Who you represent? Ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go. I'm in the zone. Can't get enough. Turn it
real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Ladies and gents, excuse me, boys and girls and children of all ages, thank you for joining us for another riveting edition of Live with Dr. D. Technical difficulties and all, we're live. Rook City and I, Rook fresh off his power nap on this rainy, rainy Wednesday. Rook, you got your raincoat on, man?
Yes, sir, Doc.
Man, that's a lot to get into. I started to play sound clip featuring Ricky Smiley, noted comedian and host of the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. And I'm going to play that clip soon again. One, because it's one of the most hilarious ones he's ever done. But later on in this broadcast, Rook, I'm going to play a clip where nephew Tommy actually prank phone calls Ricky Smiley. And that's a good
one,
too. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and it's funny when the prankster gets pranked. Well, we're going to do that a little later on in the show. Rook, I got a lot I want to talk about today. We'll see how things kind of, particularly thank you to all the callers that's already with us listening on the chat. I'm trying to, not the chat, but on the switchboard and those listening within and everything, God, for you. We appreciate you and all that stuff. I want to talk about the, I'm actually going to read the article from Columbia, South Carolina, the police officer. Have you heard about this? Have you seen this 40-second video on Facebook?
Yes, sir.
This police officer. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to read the article. We're going to discuss that a little bit. But this came in late yesterday, so I'm going to do this. This is a Dear Rook segment real quick. All right?
All right.
Ask Rook, should I say, segment. Ask Rook. Rook, I am a 16-year-old girl who doesn't believe in God. All of my friends are firm believers in Christianity, attend Bible study, or help all other things at their church. My parents and brothers don't believe in God. When I say I like to be a Christian, my brothers make fun of me. When they do, it makes me feel ashamed of myself. I want to be a Christian because it would be nice to feel like I belong. And most Christians aren't accepting atheists, especially other girls my age. They might be polite, but they're distant. It also doesn't help that the boy I like comes from a religious family. What should I do?
Well, my feeling on that is that you can't let your family hold you back from connecting with God. You never know. You might be that link that, you know, get them to change their mindset. They see you living right and see how that your life is changing and you being blessed. It might make them want to be blessed out. Especially when you found a person that you want to connect with and they believe in God.
Okay. All right.
You can't let people hold you back from God, man, because that's what the devil sent people to do, Doc.
I don't know if this is about God or not, though, personally. She says, I want to be a Christian because it would be nice to feel like I belong. That has nothing to do with belief in Christ or his teachings or that, you know, and it's my opinion, or that she feels that's the best way to go. My soul salvation. She obviously, well, it appears that she has some lonely issues. Some, you know, she got some other things going on, and her religious beliefs, to me, maybe highlight that for her. Maybe she's not very popular. She didn't say the boy I'm talking to, she said boy she likes. So maybe she's one of those wallflowers. So I don't know. That's why I said I don't know. Other than that, I not that I have to or not, but I agree with your perspective and your opinion. You can't let people hold you back. But I don't think this hurt. I think that's the issue. I think people are her issue. She wants to belong to somewhere. She wants somebody to claim her. You know,
and
I'm not saying that's not God's will. Yeah. Well. Yeah, yeah, they make fun of and that's funny because she says she wants to feel like she belongs. She seems to be, from what we read, or what I read to you, on one accord with her family, but she wants to be different from them. I don't know. Me not know. And I think you might be right. This boy, he you know, to get in where she fit in, for lack of a better term, that this may be a ploy just to catch him up. I don't know. I don't know if Jesus is a main reason for her.
I don't deny nobody from Christ, Doc. I try to get as many people as I can in, Doc.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure. Of course. I wasn't saying that. I hope you didn't take it that way. But my thing is, I want folks to come and stick. You know, I don't look for swelling. I look for growth. Some will come in and, you know, just come, you know, they'll come with a busload of folk and then come to that service, maybe the next service, and then they're out the door. I don't know. You know. So, no, I'm not saying deny her, but I think you got to be real when it comes to that, too. What's your opinion, callers? 516-387-1299, 516-387-1299. The question she wanted to ask Rook City, well, that she's an atheist. Her family's atheist, but she's around a bunch of Christians, and they don't seem to be willing to accept atheists. And there's a boy she likes. He comes from a religious family. What should she do? 516-387-1299 is how you get in on this combo. We're going to Detroit, I see. Last four digits of your number are 7790-7790. Good Wednesday morning. You're now live on the air at Dr. D in Rook City. Who's this? You're not live on the air. If you're talking, we can't hear you. Hello? All right, well, we lost that caller. Well, there you go with that. That was for you, Rook. Good question. I thought it was a good question. Good situation, good scenario. All right, Rook. Look, we're going to get into the South Carolina incident in a few, but I want to go ahead and replay the sound clip from earlier in the show.
Hello?
Yeah, may I speak to Miss Janie?
This is she.
Hey, sugar.
Hey.
How you feel?
All right.
I ain't doing too good. You know, my knees hurt.
Who is it?
This is Miss Jackson over here at Mount Moriah. I had met you about 2 years ago. I didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to call you.
Sure, no.
Now, let me ask you something. Y'all didn't move in y'all new church yet. Well, what they waiting on?
Well, they are not through with it.
Well, where did this, somebody didn't start? You know I'm your friend. I ain't gonna let nobody.
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, yeah.
Okay. Midnight of mine. Oh, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I've come down, you sit down there on that back side, on that end, don't it?
Who is that?
Over here, you know me over here in Mount Moriah. Janie?
Huh?
Yeah, and don't you know, you belongs to Rev Miller's church.
Uh-huh.
Did I got the right one?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out who you are.
I'm Miss Jackson.
Miss Jackson.
Over here at Mount Moriah. You probably don't remember me. Didn't y'all remember y'all came over with 1 hour program when your pastor?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I had met you and got your number then. You had shouted one time and stepped on my shoes.
Damn.
And, put a hole in it, and I was trying to see. Because I went to put them on Sunday, and, they just don't look right. I was going to see if you want to give me something on them. Or me a new pair.
The problem I don't have. I've been with the flu for over 8 weeks.
Well, wasn't you at church Sunday?
Yeah, I went to church Sunday, but I'm not half working. I still got this cold.
Oh, Lord. I don't know what I'm going to wear Sunday, because I got a nice dress, and they go with them shoes. And they got a hole in the top of them.
Well, I can't even remember that.
Well, they say when you be in the spirit, you don't remember nothing anyway.
I don't guess I did.
Oh, Lord have mercy, Jesus. Well, when is a good time to come to y'all's church? Well, let me ask you something. Don't that comedian go to y'all's church?
Uh-huh.
Do he sit by you?
Uh-uh.
Uh-uh. Well, what? Is he nice?
Yeah, he nice.
They say that boy crazy.
He ain't crazy. He got good sense. But he just good at what he does.
Oh, will?
Mm-hmm.
He ever made folks laugh at church?
Yeah, because he made me laugh.
Well, what happened?
He just... Now, wait a minute. This don't sound like no... I ain't put no hole in your shoe. You sound just like him.
Miss Janie. Hello? Miss
Don't
Jane.
Do this to me.
Miss Jane.
Don't do this.
Miss Jane.
Oh, no. Pardon.
Miss Jane.
What? You done made me piss all over myself. Ricky, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Bullshit. This is flat, Ricky. Ricky done made me piss all over myself.
Sound the alarm.
City. Wow. That was comedian Ricky Smiley live from the Ricky, host of the Ricky Smiley in the Morning Show. Rook, what you think of that clip?
You put a hole in my shoe.
That was funny. You know, I heard that him stopping doing the shout dance that you put a hole in someone's shoe.
Stepped on my foot.
Did you catch the end? Ricky made her TT on herself.
Yeah.
That's fun. All right, our real talk topic of the day. First one, we talked about the in our Ask Rook segment. We thank you for that. We lost a caller. Try again, I think. Feel free to call back in and hit the number one on your keypad when you want to go live. And we'll get you back on the air. We're going to give you a commentary on the young lady who is an atheist and wanted to be a Christian, and she wanted to belong. 516-387-1299 is the call-in number again, each and every day, Monday through Thursday, that you call in the live with Dr. D and give your opinion. Rook, we're going to move on. Okay, wait a minute. We're going to go back to Detroit. We're going to try this again, I guess. 7790 is the last four digits of your number. Good morning. You're now live on the air at Dr. D in Rook City. Who's this? You're talking, we can't hear you. Right. We'll try that again. We can't hear you. Thanks for the attempt to call. I don't know, the rain is affecting the phone lines, whatever that, but you know, we do the best we can while we can. All right. Moving right along. We talked about, we promoted already this 40-second viral video of a South Carolina police officer seemingly using excessive force on with a, well, I guess now the female student. And of course, the video just shows one part. But here's the article, Rook. I'm taking this from the USA Today website. Reading as written, Columbia, South Carolina. Richard County Sheriff Leon Lott said he could have a decision by the end of Wednesday on whether or not a deputy involved in an incident at Spring Valley High School will be allowed to continue working for his agency. Law said late Tuesday afternoon that an internal investigation is underway to review the actions of Deputy Ben Fields, a school resource officer at Spring Valley. Law said his officers will look only at whether Fields acted appropriately under department protocols when he forcibly removed a student from a classroom. Any possible criminal investigation will be handled by federal and state agencies. Quote, we don't expect this to draw out, end quote, Lott said. Fields has been placed on administrative leave with pay pending the results of an investigation. Lott had been in Chicago for a law enforcement conference when the incident, which has made national news, happened. He cut short the trip to flew back to the area early Tuesday morning to deal with the matter personally. He said, just like everyone else, he was appalled by the first video that was released. Quote, I wanted to throw up. It makes you sick to your stomach, he said. You can't watch the video without having those feelings, end quote. The incident happened inside a math class at the school around 10:30 a.m. Monday. According to Lott, the student was supposed to be working on a project using her computer, but instead had her cell phone out. Lott said the girl didn't comply when her teacher told her multiple times to put away the device. An administrator then came to the class, Lott said, and the student continued to refuse to obey the request. Fields was then called to the room to remove the student from the room. Video that surfaced online captured part of what happened next. Fields can be heard telling the student to get up. A few minutes later, he grabbed the student in her seat, holding the girl in the chair to flip over to the floor. Fields can then be seen dragging the girl for several feet and restraining her on the ground. The sheriff said that the girl, quote-unquote, may have had a rug burn, but was not injured, and said that the teacher and vice principal left the officer and acted appropriately. Let me read the last part again. The sheriff said that the girl may have had a rug burn, but was not injured, and said the teacher and the vice principal felt the officer acted appropriately. The student was charged with disturbing schools and was released to her parents. Another student in the classroom, 18-year-old Naya Kennedy, also was charged with disturbing schools but was booked at a local jail. She was released on bond hours later. Wow. Lott said the student was in the wrong for not complying with her school officials. He also said a third video has shown that the girl struck the officer as he was attempting to remove her. But Lott said his probe won't focus on her actions, only the officers. What she did is not what we're looking at, Lott said. Still, videos of the confrontation between a white officer and a black girl stirred such outrage that he called the FBI and Justice Department for help. Okay. I have spoken with the FBI and the U.S. Attorney for the District of South Carolina, William Nettles, today as I traveled back from Chicago, Lott said. The investigation has begun. Lott also said that the FBI will be the lead agency in the criminal investigation. One of the students who videotaped the incident said he and other students in the classroom Monday were scared as the incident played out. Tony Robinson Jr. captured video that will show the officer forcibly removing a female student from her chair, dragging her several feet, and handcuffing her. He said it was definitely a scary experience. That's a lot here.
I got one question, Doc. Why didn't he just take the phone? If that was the problem, why didn't take the phone, Doc? I have never seen the police call for a phone. A fight, I can understand. A phone incident? That's something the teacher should have been able to handle.
I can agree with that. But I can tell you, and it's been years ago at this point, but you know, I worked for the school system for a number of years, and when security officers or security guards are placed inside the classroom, or should I say inside the building, the discipline part of the teacher's job was handed to them. And so it was not uncommon for a teacher to choose on which day they were going to manage their classroom on which day they're going to have somebody else come do it for them. Whether that's right or wrong, that's current. That's current what happens. Currently what happens a lot. That's why they're there. Because the complaint was about 15, 20 years ago that the teachers stopped being teachers. They became hall monitors and babysitters. and all of that. So in urban areas, Detroit, Chicago, and as such, security officers have been placed in. Detroit Public Schools had its own police department. You might remember that when we were young. They've since privatized that and disbanded the DPS PD. But, yeah. So if you watch the video, you see the teacher standing there not saying a word, watching the whole thing. This sheriff said that the vice principal was there too, you know. Now, what I want to know is why the other young lady got booked. She got taken to jail, maybe because she's 18. They got taken to jail for this. And here's the thing. It was a phone incident. This young man recorded the whole thing with his phone.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's a third video out, apparently. So, you know, I understand about crisis management. I do. You know, you take care of the biggest issue first. And here's the thing. You and I used to work together at a place where sometimes an individual would act out, and that individual themselves was not a physical threat, but what they were doing caused that negative energy to kind of go through the unit. You know, and so one person can set off a multitude of others. And so you want to minimize that too. And all what I'm saying, and what we're talking about is, what you're not talking about, as you know, is the use of the police officer, his presence. We haven't begun to discuss how he handled it, you know, per se. I don't know, Doc. I don't know. But I tell you something. I said this a couple of months ago, and I'm going to say it again. We have to be careful of the picture that the media paints. We have to be careful, Doc. We have to be careful. We have to be careful because it was unarmed black men being killed by police, unarmed black men being killed and doing traffic stops. And now it is now that the media wants to paint this picture that the police officers are attacking or targeting black women or young black girls. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think they're targeting them. I don't think that's the case. I think that this is improper perspective, just the evilness of the world, man. And you got to look at some stuff. You remember last summer, early in the year, when right after the tragic shooting of the 9 at the church, when it was all these churches right around the riots with Mike Brown and all that, all them churches, you know, they set black churches on fire. You remember that? You know, how it was all now they're targeting. Okay. And you remember how everybody was upset? And then a few days later, they released reports saying one was because the church was struck by lightning, one had an electrical issue. You know, they wasn't just all arson. But the picture was painted as if someone's going around trying to burn up black churches. That's my thing. The video, in my opinion, shows the officer using excessive force. You know.
That's true. He did. My thing is this, Doc. If you went to school, there's, you know, boys and girls, why didn't you have no female officer come, you know, take care of that situation? Why had to be a man?
Another valid question. Another very valid question. Can't answer that. And maybe they didn't have no female officers present, you know. But I'll tell you this, though. I mean, this is common practice. If you're going to become physical with someone, and you know from experience, you have to do it in a way where you don't harm that individual, but you also have to be stern enough where twice about trying to cause you physical harm. It's almost a situation where you have to go big or stay home. You know, so that's why crisis prevention intervention teaches that you want to avoid physical contact at all by de-escalating a situation if possible. You know, but if you have to put your hands on somebody, then, you know. But I don't know. The video, the 40-second video, looks terrible. It looks terrible. And then the sheriff says, well, we got another video saying that showing that the young lady hit the officer during the confrontation. Well, if he just slammed her on the ground on top of her, the desk on top of her on the ground, chances are, yeah, she took a swing at him. Not saying it's correct, not saying it's right, but it's human nature.
Yeah, you kind of hurt me. I'm going to defend myself. I'm figuring that they should just send her doc, send her home, call her parents. But all that roughing up my child stuff, well, no. I'm going to have a problem with that. And it's just funny how we're having this conversation about a phone incident in school, because I'm not putting my business in the streets, but I went through this yesterday with my son.
Mm-hmm.
He had his phone, sitting in class listening to music. Teacher asked him to remove his headphones. He didn't reply. He didn't listen. She walked by, snatched the headphones out of his ear. He put them back in. And then on top of that, he wanted to charge his phone up in the class. Like he had somebody to talk to.
Now, who is this?
My son? Yeah.
Okay.
So I figure, you know, since we're using our phones in school, I text them. You know, I got a phone call, I text them. I want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, the police wasn't called, and he didn't get roughed up by no teachers or nothing like that, but it's just the principle of we weren't allowed to have our phones, our pagers, none of that stuff in school like that. That was like something we had to try to sneak through the metal detectors, you know? But now, I guess it's okay to have phones. But it's like when you get in school, some schools got it, so you can't even use your phone in school. They got like that block. You can't make phone calls. You can't get on the internet. It's like cell phones are becoming a problem now.
Right.
And I feel the school system should come up with a better way of handling that, Doc, than there should be a rule set in place for that, Doc. I mean, the rule is if the teachers see you with the phone, they're supposed to take the phone, but they're not doing that. Phones should be in lockers, book bags. There's no reason for you to have your phone out in class, period. Are you there, Doc? I don't hear nothing.
I think we're still live. Los Rook City, we're going to go, I think I know this number, 9320. Good morning.
Morning, Bishop. How you
from Miami? I followed you, Dr. Man. How you feeling?
No, I'm doing better, man. Got a little free time. I'm just listening in. But I had to just chat. Rook City, how you doing? I don't know if he off because he
lost Rook.
Listening for you. Yeah, he'll be back. But Bishop, I looked at the video and you know, I'm really about to not even really talk about the video. We are at a point where our kids is just, how can I put it, just disrespectful. No wisdom, no character, integrity shot. And when you have these rules set and kids feel, because they don't follow rules at home, they feel they can do whatever they want to in public places, you know, in this incident at the school, then you suffer consequences that really don't have to take place if you would just comply to the rules, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
You're not allowed to use cell phones in this particular class, school, whatever, and you decide to do what you want to do, it leads to consequences. You didn't have to get slammed, handcuffed, spit on, slapped, whatever the case may be, if you just put up the phone. Because the phone that had nothing to do with what your math work was. You understand what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, I don't condone what the officer did or nothing. I think it was a little bit too much. But then again, this is the type of stuff you get when you're trying to be big and bad and set your own rules when you're not there to set your own rules. So a lot of times our kids get punished because of the lack of stupidity, ignorance, and the lack of wisdom. And that's really just my take on the Bishop. because I just, you know, it's just crazy. When I was going to school, you know, we had cell phones, we snuck them in, but we used cell phone when we walked through the hallway. Where you at? I'm upstairs on the third floor. I'm down here in the lunchroom. Then we hurry up and put them up.
That,
use them in the cab phone. Yeah, we, you know, I'm a couple of years behind you, Bishop. So, so we did that, but we knew when it was when the teacher would come and the security guard come, we knew to hurry up and had our cell phone. We had enough respect and wisdom not to get our stuff taken. You know, taking away and stuff, our moms and stuff wouldn't come up there. Now, kids do what they want to do. Now, it's going to get worse and worse, as we see, because some other kids somewhere, probably in Illinois, want to do the same thing, and you're going to see why. This is crazy. But that's just my take.
I want to miss you, that was really live. Miss
can
you
hear me,
man,
now?
For real. Yeah, we got you, Rook.
All right.
How you doing, Rook?
I'm good, man. Glad to hear you back on the line with us, Doc.
Thank you.
Listen, let me finish reading this article because the video that went viral was captured by what's his name again? Boy's name is Tony Robinson Jr. And this is what he said. Robinson said he was in math class and he and his classmates were working on their assignments. Around 10:30 a.m., the girl who had the confrontation with the officer was working on her computer and had her phone out, Robinson said. He said the teacher asked her for her phone, but she said no. An administrator was then called to the room, and Robinson said the administrator pleaded with the girl to get out of her seat, but she didn't. She really hadn't done anything wrong, Robinson said. She said that she had took her phone out, but it was only for a quick second. While she didn't comply, Robinson said the girl was apologetic. Then Fields was called to the class. Robinson said that when Fields came in, he asked Robinson's friend to move a desk. According to the student, Fields then shut the girl's computer and moved it to another desk. Robinson felt something was wrong and pulled out his phone and began recording. Yeah, he knew what time it was. That's my editorial. When I saw what was about to happen, my immediate first thing to think is, let me get this on camera. This is going to be something that not only am I going to be like, wow, did this really happen at my class, but there's something that everybody else needs to see. This is something that we can't let this just pass by. Robinson said that the officer that began speaking with a student, he asked her, will you move? She said, no. I have not done anything wrong. Then he said, I'm going to treat you fairly. And she said, I don't even know who you are. And that is where it started right there. Moments later, things turned physical. Quote, I've never seen anything so nasty looking, so sick to the point that, you know, other students are turning away, don't know what to do, and are just scared for their lives, Robinson said. That's supposed to be somebody that's going to protect us. Not somebody that we need to be scared of or afraid of. That was just wrong. Hold on. That was just wrong. There was no justifiable reason for why he did that girl. There was no justifiable reason for why he did that to that girl. There's a lot. There are student accounts. Go ahead, Doc.
My thing is this, Doc. The police, I mean, officers, whatever they are, security, the police. They got to understand, man, they're under a spotlight right now. There's too much going on with the law enforcement, period, for them to put themselves in these situations to where they keep getting caught on camera doing something they have no business doing, whether it's excessive force or anything. They keep getting caught. They need to chill out with that. I mean, what is it going to take, you know? We in October, almost the end, and this stuff been happening all year. Like I say, every month it's something else.
And they're not taking into consideration that they're
under a spotlight?
You can't. I mean, let's be fair. Dr. Thomas, your mic is still live. But, look, you can. Because, listen, although you're right, you know, the officer's actions are terrible. And it's been documented, been terrible. They've been shooting unarmed people for no reason, pulling folks through car windows. You're absolutely right. But, like I talked about how we're responding to how the media is painting this, we are now becoming less compliant. We feel like we have to be defiant. And so that just causes an adversarial relationship. Now, I remember a few months ago when we had this similar conversation, what you're saying now, I was saying, and what I'm saying now, y'all was saying, about, you know, sometimes you got to kind of just got to go along to get along. And I'm like, no, you got no one to stand. You remember that? Now,
yeah.
This young lady, there's nothing that we've read so far that said that she shouldn't have had a phone in school, because obviously she wasn't the only one. But she shouldn't have had her phone out. She shouldn't have had her phone out. Her justification was it was only out for a few minutes. And that's the part that I think, Dr. Thomas, you were speaking to. We have this mentality where we can do, or the kids, and that's just not the kids, I'm going to say we have this mentality where we can do wrong, know what's wrong, and then somehow justify us doing the wrong thing. And in our justification, in our saying it's okay, we feel that we should not be consequented for it, get in trouble for it, and then get mad when consequence comes. Now, if you're a police officer, if you're a disciplinarian, if you're an administrator, if you're a manager, if you're a parent, if you're somebody responsible for keeping rules, for keeping order, for maintaining a standard, how do you deal with people who say, I can do what I want, when I want, and it's okay because I'm doing it? That's the issue.
It's this thing called suspension, Doc. Send them home.
They had to get out the classroom to get her home first. She wouldn't leave the class.
Well, Doc, when you send them home, you just don't send them home by themselves. You send them home with their parents. So you call their parent, let them know what's going on. Because I'm quite sure no parent wants their child getting jacked up while they're in school by nobody. So you let
my
the parent, let the parent handle
it. The girl would not leave the class. Before she can go home, she got to leave the class.
If her mama came or her daddy came, it wouldn't have been a different situation?
How do we know her mom and dad was able to come? She had a teacher. She had friends. She had the vice principal all telling her, leave the class. The police officer comes and tells her, leave the class. How many chances do you get?
Before you get suspended or before you go to jail?
You won't leave the class, sir.
He didn't break a law.
So you got, apparently she got charged with something, so apparently there's something in the book down there. She was disrupting school. That's what they called it.
That's a wordplay game, Doc.
No, it's not. I know, Doc, I'm trying to get in. And again, this is not justifying his actions, but what I'm saying is, So you let this little girl defy the teacher in the class, which is bad enough. Defy the vice principal of the school, which is bad enough. And you're saying the police are supposed to come, she's supposed to ignore him too, and then with a straight face, we think this girl going to come back to school tomorrow and listen to anybody?
No, you get suspended. And when you get suspended, hopefully you got a parent that's at home saying, you know what, since it's your problem, we're going to eliminate this problem. You won't have no phone in school since you can't listen. I'm a parent. I know how I would handle the situation.
Okay, I'm going to make this comment, Dr. Thomas, turn to you. My thing is this. I'm going to just assume. This is what I'm saying is an assumption, and we're going to go to the callers. I'm going to make this assumption. If she had parents, the way that you're speaking of Rook, the girl would have got her behind out of the classroom, and she would have put her phone out the first place. That's just the reality. There's certain things that I didn't do
because I
knew I didn't want to get home, period. Period.
I don't think she expected it to turn out the way it turned out, though, Doc.
But Doc, she should have got her behind out the class. Period.
That's why the school have things in place called suspension and stuff like that, detention and stuff like that, Doc. It ain't.
You got to get her out the class, Rook.
You can dragging her out, slamming her desk, Doc.
Well, now I'm not going to justify his actions. What I'm saying is, Dr. Thomas, go ahead, man, because Rook and I are going to talk about this an hour after the show.
I don't think right now we're talking about the action of purity more so than we're talking about the disrespect of the young lady. I mean, let's be honest. If she would have had enough common sense to say, you know what, I had my phone out, I was wrong, I'm about to put my phone up and, no, I ain't taking it back out. At least take some responsibility of the wrong that you have done and just try to make it right. But to blatantly say to the vice principal, to your teacher, to security, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. My phone was out. Here it is. Y'all can't do nothing. It's basically saying I do what I want to do regardless. Now, Rook City, I understand what you're saying about he shouldn't have did this and it's a such thing as suspension. But it's a such thing as consequences. And the consequences is something's going to happen very bad because you decide that you want to be grown instead of being a kid following rules. And that's just the way it is. Now, no, he shouldn't have slammed her, threw her across the desk and all that. But those are the consequences you do when you get to the point where you want to be the teacher or you want to be the principal. That's just the way it is. And if she was learning what she's supposed to be learning at school, I mean at home, this stuff wouldn't even happen because, first of all, she wouldn't have put her phone out. And even if she did, she would apologize, put it up, and said, I'm sorry, yeah. It is what it is. I ain't going to pull it out no more. Or here go the phone, and let me finish my work. That's responsibility. She didn't want to do that. She got slammed, bottom line.
But what I heard is she was apologetic. She did say she was sorry.
But she still didn't comply. She still didn't comply.
Well, you know what, man? If she that hard-headed and that bad, then you just kick her out the school. How about that?
You can't even get her out the desk, man. How you gonna kick her out the school? we're going over today. We're going over today. Going to Michigan, the last four digits of your number, 9216. You're not live on the air at Dr. D. Rook City. And Dr. Cobbett from Miami, who is this?
This is Bruce.
Bruce,
how you
Bruce.
Doing, guys?
Hey, I'm
good, man.
It is. You got me going. You got me listening, and now I got a comment on this.
Come on.
You know, I think the whole thing changes when you call the police instead of security, because what that does is that these guys are trained to do that. They're trained to handle the worst of the worst criminals that everybody else can't. And when you call these guys in on stuff like that, the game changes. And like you said, Dr. D, you know what? If she'd have just listened, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
Did the guy use excessive force? Absolutely, positively. But this is how he's trained. This is how we train our officers. If they didn't have some kind of security that was trained to handle the situation in the school, it might be a different story today. And the other thing is, this behavior had to be learned somewhere. Is she just defiant at home?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I do, Bruce.
I can't go for that. Because, see, like I said, I had this incident happen yesterday. My son listens to me at home, but he's not listening to the teacher at school.
Rook, you keep saying it like if it was your child. This is not your child. Somewhere along the line, this kid learned this behavior. My kid is a reflection. My two boys are reflection on me.
Yeah.
My gift and my wife's gift to them was a gift of life. Their gift is what they do with that life. And to go around and be that defiant and that, and it's wrong. It's learned somewhere. This just wasn't just a random defiant act on her. She's been doing this before. I can assure you of that.
Yeah.
If she'd have just listened, even if there's ways to disagree and listen and then make your point known. And then there's ways to be stupid. And like the other gentleman said, there's consequences for that decision. But having said all that, yeah, he did way, way over the edge. He went too far. But this is how this man's trained. He's trained to go into places that you and I would never even dream of going. He's trained for this. You just can't tell this guy, okay, just use a little bit. You know, it's hard to tell those guys that. I've had families that were police officers, and I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent, but, you know, these guys were trained for this, and this is how they are.
Well, because it becomes a preservation, self-preservation, Bruce. They can't go in, you know, it is a game-time decision. It is a game-time decision, you know, and you have to weigh it all out. You really do. And somebody,
yes,
and I think this officer, and he was assigned to the school. He was the resource officer assigned to the school, the police officer assigned to that school. And here's the thing. He's now the fourth person in. So now he's looking at himself, and again, this is not in any way to justify his excessive force at all.
Right.
But
right.
Again, there was a teacher, there were some friends, there was a vice principal, and then here he comes, and she still sat there.
Right.
According to the eyewitness report of the young man who recorded the video, the officer came in. Are you going to move? He asked her that more than once. He moved her computer out the way. He asked her again. She said no. How much time does it take? Bruce, thank you so much, man. I got another call I want to get in. Appreciate
okay,
you, sir.
Okay, thank you both.
We're going to Detroit 2181, the last four digits of your number, 2181, and this extended edition of Live with Dr. B, 2181. You're now live on the air. Who's this? Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear
Hello.
You.
Okay. I'm calling because I would like to say that I don't care. I get so tired of people calling in and talking about what her home training was and this and that. She had no business to put his hands on her like that. If he was gonna beat her up, well, I mean, if he was going to do what he did to her, he had no right to come in there and throw her around like that. And I disagree with all of the callers talking about she deserves it and she should have got it because of her home training and all that. That has nothing to do with it. I'm so glad that it wasn't my daughter. I'm so glad because that is wrong for them to do that to her like that. You know, if it had been a little white girl, it would have been a whole different story. It would have never went that far. So I'm just saying, we need to stop and think what we are saying. In other words, just because a child don't do what they're supposed to do, we're supposed to allow police to just come in and just abuse them. I have seen murderers the police didn't even do like that. So I'm just, it just bothered me that, you know, people is compromising with this officer. That's just bothering me.
And you know what? I can appreciate your passion, and I can't say I disagree with you, but I want to be clear. I didn't hear anyone say that she deserved to be treated that way. No one condoned what the officer did. However, it can be said, and unarguably said, if she had just complied, this had never happened. So
okay, well,
my question is, when do we start holding accountable the people? Now we're not talking about the victims that stuff happens to them unjustifiably. We're not talking about those innocent people. But when do we stop mixing those who get treated unfairly for doing what they're supposed to do and then the people who put themselves in harm's way, when do we start holding them accountable?
Well,
I heard
the man when he said that when he was saying that she had to get it from somewhere. That's neither here nor there with the action that he did. That's neither here nor there. We all know that a child is supposed to behave and do what they're supposed to do, but if they don't, we're not supposed to abuse them that way. You know, they could have just kicked her out of school. They didn't have to abuse her that way. And
how are they going to get her out of class? Because you and I can agree. We can agree.
You agree with them.
You and I can agree.
Now.
No. Don't misquote me and don't misread me. What I'm saying is I agree. We said the whole show. The officer's actions was excessive. Excessive. There's no running around that at all. It seemed to be a bit much, too much. It was sickening to watch.
Yes, it was.
But the issue I'm having is, why can't he be wrong, which he is, and she share in the responsibility of her actions?
She does share.
To me, it's not black and white. Yeah.
She does share, but it can be because it would have never happened in that sense. the whole media, everybody would have been out there then. It might not be black and white, but the way it was, it is. And, yes, she should pay for her actions, but I don't think she should pay for her actions by an officer that comes in and just throws us around. This is, you know, when I think about this, I think about God. We always do wrong things when it comes to God. Do he throw us around like that? Do he abuse us like that? No. You know, he lets us know what you're doing is wrong, and then his actions. But I don't believe that God would just throw a child around like that just because she was on her cell phone in class and wouldn't do what she was supposed to do. I don't believe that. So we need to think about where, what we're doing and where, and who we're doing it to. You know, that officer was wrong 100%, and I don't agree with nobody that say that she should have did what she's supposed to do, and if she didn't, that's what she should have got. I don't agree with that, and I'm sorry. I wouldn't agree with it if it was a white child. I wouldn't agree with it. So it's wrong. I agree with you. It's wrong, and it should not have happened. And it upsets my stomach to even see that people can call in and justify their actions.
I don't think it happened where anyone justifies his actions.
When you say that, when they say that, oh, she wasn't doing what she was supposed to do, and maybe if she had been doing what she was supposed to do, to me that's justified.
I understand. Okay, now I got your point of view. I'm going to disagree with your definition of justifying, although I can't call your perspective wrong. And that's why I love how we do these shows, because there are different sides to everything, and everybody has a valid opinion from their point of view. And I thank you for calling in. I really do. But like as I said to you in our conversation, this is not a right and a wrong situation. You reference God. And I think that's a long way. He's our ultimate example, true enough. I think that's a long way to go. But even if we look at the Savior, if we look at God the Father, he sends warning. Proverbs says warning comes before destruction, not before a hand smack. So warning comes, and then there are consequences. And so, again, if we're going to go that route, she didn't get, and I don't want to get into that because I don't want to turn this into a white black thing. I don't want to turn this into a how he could have handled it, because it's a game time decision. I agree that, and I totally agree. That's why I want to do the show, the Real Talk topic, that his actions were excessive. But there are two sides to everything, and the reality of it is, if she had of complied, the reality of it is this: if she had never pulled the phone out, can you agree with that? If the phone never came out, we probably wouldn't have a story to talk about. Is that true? Would you agree with that or not?
Well, on that situation, no, we probably wouldn't have had that. But I've also heard that's all he do is go around and try to, and the news media said this from his hometown. He goes around picking on kids, black kids. I've heard that on the from his hometown on the news. I don't know if you heard of it or not, but they said he go around keying in on trying to find out about black kids in gangs. They say he's go around trying to do things to black kids. So that's why I put that in, because of what I heard from his hometown. You know, and we probably never agree on this situation because it's not our child. But if it had been my child, I would be so very upset. And couldn't nobody cool me down but Jesus. No man couldn't cool me down.
Amen. I'm going to say it live on here. I agree with you 110%. If it was my child, they got slammed like that, we'd have had some problems. But after I got her home, she would have got slammed again.
And I would have slammed her.
Yeah, that's just me. Because she should have brought her home. Thank you so much. We are way out of time. Thank you so much for calling. We didn't get your name.
My name is Renee.
Hi, this is Renee. Thanks for calling in. We really appreciate the commentary. I hope you do. I really appreciate it. We got a saying, look, it takes all of us to be us. And we have different opinions and from different perspectives. That's why we do. That's what makes this Real Talk Radio. That's what makes the Real Talk Radio. Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Dr. Thomas. Rook City, man, thank you so much. Bruce, appreciate you as well. I know everybody want to kind of get back in, but we are out of time. Call in tomorrow. Rook, we out of time, man. Do what you do.
Well, Doc, I had a lot more to say, so maybe we'll bring this back tomorrow, Doc. But until tomorrow, everybody be safe, be blessed. It's Wednesday, y'all, so somebody need to be sitting in somebody's Bible study, hearing the Word of God. Until then, I'm out until tomorrow, y'all. Y'all be safe and be blessed.
Well, tomorrow is Thursday, our last show of the week. And so it is freestyle. So, yeah, we can finish talking about this tomorrow because there was another point of view. The young lady that got arrested in the article that I was reading actually gives her opinion and her observation on what happened and why she got arrested. So that's tomorrow. We can talk about it. So we definitely pick this up tomorrow. We're also going to play the prank phone call where Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show calls and pranks Ricky Smiley of the Ricky Smiley in the Morning Show. We'll do that tomorrow as well. So all you didn't get a chance to get back in, call in tomorrow, 10 to 11, right here live with Dr. D. Till then, be blessed. Godspeed. Have a great day.